Welcome to another episode of Marketing 101 for Chiropractors,
where we keep you ahead of the curve, attracting more new patients and growing your business. Now, here's your host, Dr. D himself.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Marketing 101. Another special guest this week. I don't know how I keep getting all these awesome people, but we do. Dr. Elaine from Vancouver, Canada. He's joining us today. Tell us all about you, man. I'm going to leave this to you because you got such amazing stories with everything. Tell us about how you got into it, what you do now, and how it's all progressed.
Sure, man. So I come from what some people call a dynasty in chiropractic. We have a lot of chiropractors in my family. We have 44, I believe, at this point, and which is neat that it's only over two generations. I know that there's some families in chiropractic that are bigger than us, but I think that us in two generations is the one that, that tops it. But it really started with my uncle Gil. He was the first chiropractor in our family. And for me, growing up in chiropractic was really interesting that it was something that, you know, we grew up around chiropractors, around chiropractic families, at chiropractic seminars. That was, you know, that's where we met some of my best friends that I still have today. And I had an interesting thing happen growing up was that while people in my family, like my uncle, who was the first chiropractor, had this miracle story happen with him in chiropractic. And my mom had this miracle story happen with her in chiropractic. And I grew up not having what I considered to be some miracle story. I didn't think I had a story in chiropractic. And it wasn't until I became a chiropractor, I entered the profession and saw different speakers and saw different stories that I realized that I do have a story. And I do have this amazing story that I think is worth telling. And that's something that really inspired me when I got into practice, was to start to speak, to share my message. And we always have heard that, you know, we got to tell the story. And I'll tell you, when I first started, I was brutal. I was awful. I was the worst speaker you can ever imagine. I thought that because I had this huge passion for chiropractic and I just had this passion to serve people, and I thought I was going to open my doors. My first practice was in Canmore, Alberta, this little town of about 13,000 people. And I thought I was going to open my doors, and within a month, I was going to be seeing 1,000 people a week. It was going to be the talk of the town. And yet for months and months and months, I struggled hard. And I knew that getting my message out was just the key. And it took me a long time to figure all that out. But once I figured out a system, once I learned a method to actually share my message in a way that was congruent, that was heart-centered, that was truthful, that was authentic, things just took off. And I found myself within the profession looking to help more and more people, not only help more people within my practice, but help the profession become great communicators. As you know, you're down in Florida, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, your experience over the last few years potentially was very different than our experience over here over the last few years going through the pandemic. And we had, the narrative that was told to everybody was insane. It was completely insane. And yet so many people could see right through it, yet we went along with it. And now the truth is starting to come out in better ways. We're starting to understand exactly what happened. But what's really interesting is that the truth wrapped up in a terrible story will always lose to a falsehood, but that's wrapped around in a good story. And so people over the last few years, this narrative that was spun was a great story that got people to take action, that got people scared, that got people to believe certain things about their neighbors and their, you know, the people that they loved. Yet it was not the truth. And so how do we then start to change that narrative? Well, we have to start to be able to speak our voices, speak our truth, and tell it in such a way that actually is in a good story. And so storytelling for me has always been something that has been at the foundation of how we communicate. And it's something that I just want to bring to the profession as large, because I think we have a duty and we have a responsibility to change the narrative and to change the narrative to something that is true, that is authentic, that is open, that is just life-giving, as opposed to what has been happening over the last few years.
100%. Yeah. The story, right? And that's what a great example. I mean, we just went through one of the biggest stories probably since World War II. and and how we have to take control of that narrative. So when you started out and you said you struggled, how did you find your story? How did you find your congruent story that you made that just clicked and you told every single patient that came to your office?
Yeah. So I did this really interesting thing. I did this talk. I had set up, I'm like, I'm going to do this big talk for my community. I had rented out the community center in my town and we hustled for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we got, I think it was close to about 100 people or so that signed up to do the talk or to come to the talk. And on the night of the talk, it was a Sunday night, I get to the venue and my assistant is there and I have a couple of friends that are there. And I look out into the, I can step out on stage and I look out into the audience. And we have about 120 seats that are set up in the room. And there was one person there. One person showed up. And it was this little old lady. And she was actually there just waiting for a ride from the community center. She wasn't even there for the talk. Turns out that that our talk was set. And I didn't know this when we set up the talk. But it was the same night as Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Calgary Flames, which was the city right next to where we were in the finals in the Game 7. And it was in Calgary. So needless to say, nobody showed up, which was a blow, but I knew that that was way out of my control. So we hustled again. We set up another talk for a few weeks later and we managed to get about 60 or 65 people to sign up. And the people that were there, you know, I gave what I considered to be at the time, I thought it was the best talk I'd ever given. I was like, I just poured my heart out. I knew that I was there to serve. I had this big message. I knew, like we've always heard, that if people just knew what we knew, they would do what we do. So I thought I was doing the best that I could. I delivered this message and I got all kinds of people that came up to me afterwards and said, oh, that was so inspiring. Thank you so much. That was amazing. And I was just so happy. And I went back to the back of the room and my assistant was there and I said, hey, so how do we do? And she's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, how many people signed up? And she said, zero, like nobody signed up. And I was crushed, like devastated. I thought I was the worst chiropractor. I thought I was the worst human being in the whole world. And so we went back to the drawing board and I just had this just really terrible week afterward, just thinking that I was just the worst person and I could not figure this out. Yet I knew that there was something, I just knew that there was still something there that I just hadn't figured it out. And the next weekend, I was at my brother's house and he had this thing called a Salad Master party. You ever heard of Salad Master? The company Salad yeah. Master?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do like direct to consumer pots and pans. These like specialized pots and pans. And so they have these, what they call Salad Master parties, where they have a rep come from the company, this person who sells the pots and pans, and they'll come to your house and they will cook something for you. And as they're cooking something for you in the pots and pans, they will tell you about the pots and pans and tell the story and all this stuff. And then at the end, you have an opportunity to buy them. And I was there, like I said, I'd been struggling in practice. I did not know how I was going to keep my doors open. I did not know how I was going to keep the lights on. And I'm here at the Salad Master party and went through this guy's presentation. And at the end, all 12 of us that were there, we all bought these pots and pans. And I remember it's like, this guy was just amazing. He wasn't the most charismatic. He wasn't the best looking. He was just like, he was just this guy. But the presentation he gave was so good that I wasn't even thinking about the presentation. I'm like, I just want these pots and pans. Like, I need to have these pots and pans. I have no money. I have no idea how I'm going to pay for these, but I absolutely need these pots and pans. And a few weeks later, when I got the pots and pans that I had to split over like 3 credit cards that I had, I remember pulling them out and actually still being happy that I had these pots and pans. And it just hit me at that moment. I remember thinking, if this guy could use some sort of method or system or something, because he wasn't like I said, he wasn't the most charismatic guy. He wasn't the best spoken guy. Like, but if he clearly follows some sort of system or some sort of method, and if I could follow, like if he could follow this to sell me pots and pans, I wonder if I could use something similar to sell something that actually matters, like people's health and their life. And I went into, like, I just deep dove for months and months after that. I got, you know, my hands on anything about communication and persuasion and speaking that I could. And it really was in that time, like developing a system for myself that really allowed people to actually want and engage in the thing that I had. And it wasn't like, oh, so it wasn't just that I was super excited. It wasn't that I was trying to be a really great, charismatic, you know, communicator, but following a system that really got those results. And so that system is something that has not only built my first practice, built every practice that I've had since then, and is something that, you know, that we teach now in, like, to the profession.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's all about creating the system. And the system is not something that you have a checklist that you have to look at anymore. The system, you know how it goes and you've memorized it. It's part, it's ingrained into you because it works, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something, I mean, there's something that, you know, I know that even at this point, and this is the, one of the fallacies that I think a lot of people have is once they just like, once it becomes something that just becomes unconscious, like we don't really have to train anymore. We don't have to, we just kind of just do it and we just kind of wing it. Yet I know that the people that I look up to the most, my coaches, my mentors, they are always training. They are always learning. Like I got a picture from a friend of mine who was on the crew for Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins was speaking in Las Vegas. It was the day after he had like a major shoulder surgery. So he's there in like a sling. And after the talk, I got this picture from my friend. And it was them backstage. And this is something that Tony has said. I remember him saying at one of the programs when I was in his coaching program or his coaching training was that they would go back after every talk, every seminar, every day of his programs, and they would review like the transcript, and they would review how that day went, like how that talk went every single time. And I remember thinking, well, that's pretty cool, but I'm sure he doesn't do it every time. Yet I got a picture of them backstage. So Tony with his like 14 or 15 people, like his inner circle, going over the transcript of the 4-hour talk that he had just given. And they go over what went right, what could go better, and what we need to do next time. And I was just blown away. This guy, like after surgery, after he was supposed to speak for 2 hours, he spoke for 4. And it's now like 11:30 at night and he's still doing it. And I think about that, like that's something that I really take to heart as well, is the things that if you want to be the best of the best at anything, it's just continual learning, continual training. And right, that's how people stay the best of the best.
Yeah. What was the best way to start when you're like, yeah, you know what? Communication is really important. Where do I start to become a better communicator?
Well, one thing for a lot of people is, I guess there's three big problems that I see that people have when they want to, like, I know I need to speak. I know I need to share my message. The number one problem is people that just don't have confidence. They just feel like, well, they're scared to speak. They say that the number one fear of most people is fear of public speaking. And so there's that. And along with that is the idea that, you know, if I share something that people don't like, well, then I'm going to be ostracized, I will be judged. And because the other thing is that people think that they don't have is they don't have a story. Like I don't have a message to show. Like, yeah, I've got this chiropractic thing, but there's other people that are better than me at this. So like what's special about me? And to realize that every single one of us has a unique perspective and a unique story. And for most people, I feel that especially starting out, people don't have a storytelling problem. Like they don't have a problem with like just sharing something, is that they don't document their lives enough to be able to do that process. So they think like, oh, I don't have anything to share. Well, like this morning, I probably have 5 or 6 things that happened just on getting my daughters ready for school, driving them to school, interacting with a couple of the parents that were there, and then driving back, getting ready for this. Like there's some things that just from that, I can pull out some lessons, some little life lessons, some little things that I could share with anybody. But I had to go through the process of actually documenting things that could actually turn into those stories, turn into those messages. So one thing we realize is that, you know, whenever there's a memory, there is an emotion. So meaning that there's some things that are going to happen throughout your day. So like something upset you or something made you really happy, something made you really grateful. Like to take that moment to say, so as an exercise for your viewers and your listeners, anytime that today, if you have some sort of emotion, just take a step back and think, okay, what's happening right now? Like, what are the circumstances of this experience? Like, where am I? What am I doing? When is it? Like, kind of jot down like the who, what, when, where of just the timeline of the story and just write it down. and then think about and just write down, like, what was I feeling? What was the feeling that I had? Like, I was really grateful that my daughter has really amazing friends. I was just really grateful that my kids had a really good school. Like, just something like that. And just documenting that. Then you can go back later on and go, oh, okay, so this is what happened. This is, like, what I felt. And then from there, you can start to build out things that then become a message to share. But just, like, one of the most prolific influencers, say, of today is Gary Vaynerchuk. And Gary Vaynerchuk always talks about do not create, document. So just documenting our day-to-day life will, for so many people, I think for all of us, will show, yeah, you actually have something to share. You actually have something of value that people will want. And on top of that, most of everyone listening here, you're a trained expert. Like, we are experts at this. This is stuff that we have degrees in. We have letters behind our name that say, yeah, you've got something to share. You got something very valuable to share.
Yeah. So that's where I think that I
would start.
Yeah. That would make people more confident just because of being an expert or being a professional in something, but it's actually quite the opposite. People have those fears of not sharing their story, but just speaking, just of speaking. They're always so worried about what the person's going to think of them or of what they have to say. And you're right. I think that's the biggest hurdle anyone can come over. But I'm a Hard Knocks coach. So when people have that, I'm like, you just got to get over it. Like, you honestly, no one cares what shirt you're wearing or how you're going to deliver this message. They want what you have. And that's why they're there. It's always boggled. You know, people will pick up the phone and dial the number to or search for your clinic, or maybe a couple clinics, and call your clinic. Like, they actually put an effort out to dial this number, and we take that for granted. We take that for such granted. They actually already put in the effort. Now they're on the phone with your company, and then not only that, they get instructions on what to do to now get in a car and drive to you, and we're still not convinced we're good enough. They're like, they just took time out of their life to come to you because they need what you have to offer, and we're still all hung up on what they think about us. You're past the point. Now just deliver the message. You just got to get congruent with the message. That's really it. Yeah, great. Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's also that. When you think about the lowest level, you think about like a model of communication, that like the lowest level is really when we're just really focused on ourselves. Like, people are focused on, like, they're just self-conscious. What are people going to think about me? People are like, oh, this guy's sweating a lot in his shirt, isn't he? Well, like, you know, there's that. But as we start to kind of move up and ascend from that, the highest level is really purpose. And when we think about our purpose over everything, like, that is really what transformed things. Like, I did not want to get up on stage. For the longest time, I did not want to speak. I did not want to share a message. But what I knew was that if I didn't, that the world would be a worse place because of it. That I may just be one person, but I can affect the life of at least one person. And that person might be the person that affects everybody else. But if I don't do it now, then, you know, it's like the old saying, like, you know, if not me, who? If not you, who? If not now, when? And as long as we can just build up to, like, with that purpose in mind, that is a thing that will just can catapult everything, because it doesn't matter. Like you said, we just have to get over ourselves, but we get over ourselves by dialing in and tuning in to our purpose.
Love it. And when we get over ourselves, do you think it's important to get over the expectation as well and have no expectations?
Well, I would say no expectation. What do you mean by no expectations?
Like, I'm just using the story you said in Canmore about one lady showing up to your talk, and she wasn't even there for the talk. But you had expectations. You had 120 seats for 120 people, even though 100 signed up. You thought you're going to have a 20% overflow, and it crushed you. It truly crushed you. And all these things, like, when we do this stuff, like, we're going to put some communication together, and people may listen to this podcast and be like, yeah, you know what? I am going to tighten up my communication. I am going to get more inspired. They're going to tie expectations to this immediately. They're going to say, well, I read Tony Robbins' book. That took me all weekend. On my next lecture talk, I should sign up 5 more extra new patients, and maybe they won't. And that will deflate them because they've tied themselves to a fantasy expectation of what will happen. And what I'm trying to get to is if you detach yourself from the expectation, you just don't know how many lives you're going to affect. You really don't know. And when and how, It may not be five signups after the workshop. It may be that one person who 6 months from now ends up referring like crazy to your office because of what you did for them, right? So I guess I answered my own question. But what do you think about the expectation?
Yeah, I think the expectation is really, the expectation is on me. Like, I can expect things of myself. I cannot expect something of someone else. One thing that I loved, I just heard, actually, I think it was yesterday or today, Alex Hormozi was talking about, you know, he's a very prolific marketer, very prolific businessman. And he talked about how, especially in the short term, when you tell, like when you're saying, okay, I'm going to go out and make some changes in my life, and you're going to tell people that this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, and you fail, everyone's going to be like, oh, see, didn't work. And you're like, yeah, it didn't work. And then the next time, oh, didn't work. It didn't work. Didn't work. Didn't work. Until it starts to work. And then what most people are hung up on is they're expecting things on the short term. Like, they're measuring things in weeks. And when we have a purpose that we hook our minds to, like, we have to think about in decades. So yeah, in the short term, things might suck. I remember the first few talks that I did as I was learning this system, learning different methods, learning how to use my own voice, learning all these things. Like, it sucked. But then it got good. But I had to go through that process. I had to suck for the first little bit. I had to have the expectation that I was going to do my best, and then we'll kind of see what happens.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, I love it. So yeah, those are the two biggest things when I'm helping people, is that they, you know, it's the just doing it, you know, the fear, and then the expectation that really holds us back because of our own limiting beliefs, whatever they may be. Oh, I'm worried about what they think of me. I'm worried about what they say of me. I'm worried about lashback. I'm worried about, you know, especially my Canadian clients, you know, they're always, well, I can't say that. I'm like, you'd say anything you want. What are you talking about? Just make sure it's evidence-based. But anyways, different story for a different day. When it comes to communication, so we got practice and systems, and then just repeating. Anything else about communication that, you know, chiropractors listening right now would be like some action steps that they can take right now and start to improve their communication?
I think about just the idea of storytelling, telling our story, telling someone else's, you know, talking about case studies, testimonials, our own story. That is really the most powerful. I mean, most people, they think that we're going to convince somebody to come into our office. We're going to convince somebody to get lifetime care just based on a bunch of studies that were done. And information is not what changes and transforms lives. Experiences do. And over the span of the millennia, that we know that information gets passed down, wisdom gets passed down through story. And so learning to tell a good story is key. And by learning to tell a good story, I guess one of the things before that is to live a good story. So you live a good story, live a good life, and then learn to tell it well. And as we learn to tell it, one of the things that I find really interesting, especially now, I mean, we've got this big push towards automation and AI and things like that. And I think that that's part of that is so good, except that, like, if you were to go to, like, if I was to go to, let's say, like, ChatGPT right now, or any of these, like, large language models, and I was to type in, like, okay, I want you to speak like Gary Vaynerchuk, or I want you to speak like Tony Robbins, or I want you to speak like Sid Williams, I want you to speak like David Fletcher, I want you to speak like just somebody that you know really well. It'll be able to do that, and it'll be able to start to pick that up because they've done a lot of speaking. They've communicated a ton. And think about it, if someone's going to go and if you're going to write your own name, like, okay, speak like Dr. XX, like, what is it going to say? Probably not a lot, because it needs to know your voice, your message, your uniqueness. And that just takes, like, you have to get out and actually do that. And automation is something that's going to allow us to really, I believe, especially in this new economy, is going to allow us to double down on what's most important: connection. Connection with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that, you know, I see a lot of people wanting to invest time, money, resources, energy into automation, into AI, because they want to just be able to step away and be passive. I think that's a recipe for disaster.
100%.
Like, it is, we do that so that we can double down on the thing that matters the most, which is just connecting heart to heart with people. Yep. And helping the people to see a greater, a bigger identity for themselves and their lives. That's where transformation happens.
Right. It's marketed as, you know, set it and forget it. But if you're telling a story that needs to get out there and you're driving a purpose, you need to navigate that technology to do that for you. Absolutely awesome, man. Yeah, that's great. Follow Elaine online. Like, just, I'll put all of his handles in there. Like, the guy's just cool. His family's cool. I've known him for a long time. So, I mean, that's biased, but, and he's a chiropractic philanthropist, man. I mean, he loves this whole thing, and, reach out to him and connect with him and just, follow by example. Look at his examples. He's always talking. He's always doing. And you know what I love? You never stop. And it's been, you've been doing this for almost 20 years and you never stop. And sometimes you have such a great message and has 2 likes on Facebook, and that would deflate so many people. But guess what? 2 days later, he's on his Facebook again, doing another whole spiel. It just never, for 17 years, it just never ends. So kudos to you for that. And you're just inspiration, thanks, you know, a walking model. So do all that. I'll link all that stuff in afterwards, but thanks for being on the show, man. Appreciate your time.
Hey, appreciate you. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe, like, share, and leave a rating. It helps get our podcast out to more listeners. Also, join Marketing 101 for Chiropractors on Facebook or visit us at EnricoD.com for more information on growing and scaling your business.